How do you do? Fear is a storm-tossed ship without a rudder, driven here and there at the whim of wind and wave. And fear has torment. The woman in this story lived with torment that she stuffed inside as she was growing up. Our own demise is at the heart of most fears, but she now has a peace that passes understanding, because her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Sign yourself in, Jean.
No, Dad, I won't do it.
It's for your own good, honey.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Something is not right. You're not yourself. You're not behaving rationally.
You wouldn't either if your own family tried to have you committed.
We're trying to help you.
I'm fine.
Jean, honey, if you sign yourself in, you can leave whenever you want.
Oh. Okay, I'll do it, but I'm not going to stay.
Proclaiming the good news to a troubled world, this is Unshackled. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. When homeless people feel threatened, whom do they call for help? In Chicago, they can go to Pacific Garden Mission, where the doors never close, where people without means are welcome and protected. They receive a bunk for the night, nourishing meals and fresh clothing. Each day, hundreds of men, women, and children seek shelter in these harrowing times. Pastors and counselors introduce them to the one who is a lifetime counselor, who promises anyone who comes to him, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3269 in the series, Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I've been looking at your records, Jean. You came out of the hospital in just 4 days.
Yes.
Without medication? That's unheard of.
Well, I did a lot of praying, but the doctor at the hospital put me on meds that I'm taking now.
Well, a person in your condition could take months to be stabilized on medication.
The doctor told me I'd be on this medication the rest of my life.
Sometimes, but not necessarily.
She said, once you're bipolar, you're always bipolar.
A diagnosis is not a cure, and it didn't end the difficulties for the woman in our story. This is how she recovered, and who helped her. It's the true testimony of Jean Schlosser, right now on Unshackled.
Tell me about your family, Jean.
Well, my dad is retired, and mom is a housewife.
Any siblings?
I'm the youngest of four. My brother was only 16 months old when I was born, so nobody was excited about me. One sister is 6 years older than I, and the other was 13 when I came along.
Did you feel accepted and loved?
Not by my oldest sister, Angie. When I was 5 and she was 18, she gave me one of her cigarettes. I coughed and coughed, and she laughed and laughed.
And the other?
Well, I always wanted to be like Beth. She was popular with lots of boyfriends.
You say you were always fearful. Tell me about that, Jean.
Well, I had nightmares after Grandma died. I was afraid of her.
Why?
She never seemed to like me. When I was 4, I wandered into a backyard football game, and one of the boys fell on me, breaking my arm. Grandma said it wasn't broken, but Dad came home and saw the bone sticking out and took me to the hospital.
So your father is your hero.
Yes, but he's dying of cancer.
I'm sorry. Tell me about your mother.
She almost died of salmonella poisoning when I was in second grade. She was in the hospital for a month and lost her hair and fingernails.
Oh, that would be scary for any child.
Fear began consuming me. In third grade, we had a new teacher who yelled at us. She would shake us violently when she was angry.
Did she ever shake you?
No, I was already shaking with fear when she got mad. She grabbed my arm once, but she really liked my cursive writing and had me go up and down the rows showing other kids how to write. I was scared and embarrassed.
What other things bothered you in childhood?
Mom and Dad fought a lot. When I was in fourth grade, they considered divorce. Mom said she'd take me and Dad would take my brother. Then my oldest sister visited from Milwaukee and got them to calm down.
Divorce can be frightening to children.
Our church doesn't approve of divorce, and we went to church every week, even Dad. Then we would stop at my aunt's house. I was afraid of her. They lit candles and had ceremonies. It was eerie. Now I realize they were occult rituals. No wonder I lived in fear.
Tell me, Jean, did you share your feelings with anyone?
No, I stuffed them inside.
Have you ever experienced severe depression?
Yes, but I never told anyone. There were many things we never talked about. When I hit puberty and filled out before the other girls, the boys noticed, and I was so embarrassed I wanted to die.
So how did you cope?
I discovered alcohol. I hope Dad doesn't count his beers and discover one is missing. Here.
You go first.
Yuck! Tastes terrible.
You gotta get used to it, Jean.
I used to take sips of my parents' drinks when I was 8 years old. It all tastes terrible.
Yeah, but it makes you feel good.
Not yet.
Give it time.
That year, my sister Beth married, and I secretly drank champagne with cousins. A man I trusted gave me a shot glass of something and told me to quaff it. I did and was violently sick. He and other male friends violated my trust in them. I suppressed that too. Mom made me go to school on Monday anyway. By my freshman year, I was drinking almost every weekend. I lied to my parents so I could go to parties.
If you can be arrested for drunk driving, can we be arrested for drunk walking?
I hope not.
I hope I don't get sick.
Like at your sister's wedding?
Oh, I'll never forget that.
Down the hatch.
And back up the hatch.
You have to learn to hold your liquor.
When's the next party?
I don't know. I'll ask around.
Oh, tonight was a great New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, and you almost didn't get to go.
My parents think I'm staying at your house.
Well, you are. We're almost there.
Jean, get in the car. You lied to us. We called your friend's house and no one answered. What were you doing out walking the street after midnight? You might have been abducted and we wouldn't have known what happened to you. What were you thinking, Jean?
I have a drinking problem, Dad. I need help. I can't help myself. Lord, take my life right now. I don't want to live anymore.
My parents didn't know how to help me because they also drank and didn't want people to know we had problems. I was boy crazy and went to the Summerfest in Milwaukee with a boy from our mainline church. As we sat in the park listening to the band, someone passed a joint around and I felt anxious and didn't smoke. But undercover officers arrested all of us and I ended up in a filthy jail cell. Finally, I was taken to the chief of police.
Your parents are here to get you.
Oh no.
What's a nice girl like you doing here?
They didn't touch that joint. I was shocked when they pulled it out and started passing it down the line.
Surely you knew that could happen.
No! I've never been to the Summerfest before. My parents would kill me if I smoked pot.
Look at young lady. I'll let you go this time, but you better find yourself some new friends.
My parents didn't punish me, but a cruel social worker gave me a tongue-lashing. Sophomore year, I wore the class ring of a senior, but he began pressuring me to become intimate. I told him to wait until my 16th birthday. As my birthday approached, my anxiety grew.
Loosen up, Jean.
Don't pressure me, Andy. It made me break out in a rash. I had to go to a dermatologist, and he said the rash was caused by stress. He told me to get rid of whatever was causing it.
See? So don't resist me. If you loved me, you'd show it.
That's not what the speaker at the school assembly told us.
Oh, you went to hear that old coot?
Yes. He said that is not the way to prove your love to anyone.
What does he know?
He's an expert. I think we should break up. We broke up, but I got tired of hanging around with girls. Then I met some older gearheads who taught me how to change a tire. One of them liked me, and we started dating, even though one of my friends liked him too. I felt bad about going out behind her back. Before long, he was pressuring me too, so we broke up and I became anorexic. Then I started praying. As graduation approached, my parents put a new pressure on me.
It's good to see spring take hold.
Makes it a pleasure to walk the dog.
Have you given any thought to college, Jean?
I don't really want to go, Dad. I just want to work full time. I love working with you. Inside maintenance and landscaping is so fulfilling.
You'll never get ahead without college, Jean.
My grades aren't good enough.
Well, your art teacher thinks you have talent. I'm sure you can succeed if you try.
So I started college majoring in art. I carpooled with five guys, one of whom was reading the Bible. He gave me some sermons on cassettes that explained how Satan works through rock music. Listening to my music, I thought he was right. I decided to write a research paper for English on that subject and talked with the professor.
What's the subject of your paper, Jean?
It's about rock music, how Satan works through the lyrics and music to deceive and trap us. I'll use biblical references to confirm the facts, like the one that says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8.
You can't use the Bible for a reference. It's not a valid resource. You'll have to pick a different topic.
I was confused by her decision, but I saw the truth and destroyed my rock and roll albums and paintings I had of stars. When I was a junior, I transferred to the University of Wisconsin. I had to submit my artwork to a panel of five professors.
So, how did they like your presentation?
They didn't.
What happened?
They told me I needed to take all my art classes over, or maybe think about a different major.
They're wrong. You're talented, Jean.
I was devastated, Dad. I told them I was still going to major in art no matter what they said. I wanted to quit school altogether and work full time, but I let go of my dreams and stayed, switching my major to social work. Classes taught me about self-actualization, evolution, and reincarnation. One of my professors talked more about his out-of-body experiences than social work. I read books and explored the occult, which led to greater anxiety. During that time, my oldest sister was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Would I be next?
We'll hear about Jean's fear in a moment. Unshackled is translated by Romanian people and broadcast in Romania, known there as Descatușat. Radio station managers report that listeners of all ages love Unshackled. This doctor writes, "Unshackled is one of the best programs on radio. The cases presented are real and speak more than many sermons. They have a note of authenticity." A college student writes, "I don't miss any episode of Descatușat. I make sure that my schedule is made around it." A Romanian retired person writes, "Descatușat reminds me of what God has done for me." A young teacher writes, "I love everything about the Descatușat program. I enjoy listening to how people without hope, at the end of their rope, find God and He changes their lives. A lot of times I listen to Descatușat with tears in my eyes." We want to thank every translator, radio station, and supporter who make this broadcast possible. For more information about this ministry to Romania, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
I was so fed up with the men I'd been dating that I made a list of the qualities I wanted in a man. He couldn't use drugs or drink much. He had to go to church and be a hard worker. And he had to love me for my personal characteristics and not for my body. My sister told me about Joe, who seemed to have those qualities, and she arranged a meeting. My girlfriend waited with me at the rendezvous, and when Joe didn't show up, my friend called him, since I wouldn't, and then she handed me the phone.
Oh, is this Jeannie?
Yes, this is Jeannie.
I'm so sorry. A bunch of friends dropped in to have a couple of beers and...
I understand, Joe. If you don't want to come, that's fine.
No. I'm coming. Where'd you like to meet?
Let's meet at the coat rack here. I'm wearing a white sweater, blue jeans, and boots that look like roller skates.
Okay, I'll be there at 9.
At 9, the most handsome man I'd ever seen walked in and came straight to the coat rack. He said, "You must be Jeannie." It was love at first sight. We danced the night away and got to know each other. We'd been dating for 2 weeks and were in the parking lot of a department store when Joe surprised me.
Jeannie, I'd like to live with you.
Joe, I'd never live with anyone.
I mean, get married.
I need to finish college first.
That's fine. I'll work on building us a house.
Joe was a carpenter, and he was more than I'd hoped for. We dated for 2 years, and I graduated from college when he gave me an engagement ring. Before I looked for a job as a social worker, I took a vacation to see my sister Beth in Texas. She was pleasantly different. My last night there, she approached me with a Bible.
Jean, if you died tonight, what reason would you give God for letting you into heaven?
Well, I tell him I go to church every week. I volunteer in juvenile jail and other places. I'm making all kinds of puppets for Children's Hospital.
You can't earn salvation. It's a free gift from God by trusting in Jesus and his finished work on the cross.
But I do believe in Jesus.
You have to admit that you're a sinner, repent of your sins, and believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Just before Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." He paid the full price for our sins. The Bible says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Would you like to pray to receive him as your Savior?
Oh, I already did that. I went to bed that night with internal confusion. Before falling asleep, I prayed, "Lord, I know I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me for my sins. I want you to be my Savior." When I left the next day, I didn't think to tell my sister I had prayed. I went home, and as the wedding drew near, I got cold feet. Fear of the future gripped me. Maybe we should call it off, Joe.
No, don't say that. Jean, you know we love each other.
What if I don't like being married?
You'll love being married. I'll see to that.
I'm not sure I'm ready.
We'll learn together.
Joe, it bothers me that your parents argue so much when we're there.
Well, that's how they resolve their problems.
Well, it makes me nervous.
Don't worry. We won't do that. I promise.
My fears didn't fade, but Joe was patient, and I asked God for confirmation. After the rehearsal, I wept much of the night. But in the morning, God gave me peace, so we were married. After our honeymoon, bad news greeted me. My sister Beth, who had talked to me about salvation, had cancer. It was the first of several blows.
How goes the job hunt?
The most jobs in my field are in Milwaukee.
Well, I don't want you to work in the city.
Well, your parents' friends offered me a job in their store.
Take it if you want, hon.
Well, I get to use my art training. I'd be sewing draperies and helping people coordinate their furnishings.
Yeah, go for it.
But I'd really like to work with children, use my degree. Hello?
Oh, no. Oh, no. How long have you known? I'll call you back, Mom.
Honey, what is it?
My dad has cancer. What's happening to my family?
Oh, I'm sorry, hon.
Angie has MS. Beth has cancer. No, Dad.
Well, they didn't think Beth would survive surgery, but she did.
But she's still getting radiation, Joe. No, Dad, I don't want to lose them.
I worked sewing draperies, and I had to adjust to life's changes. A year later, a friend told me about a job in the elementary school working with emotionally disturbed students. I applied and was hired on the spot. I had no idea what I'd gotten myself into.
Oh, you're crying. What's wrong, honey?
You won't believe what it's like, Joe. I've never experienced anything like it in my life.
Don't cry, honey. Tell me about it.
Well, two boys used foul language all day. I was shocked.
Yeah, par for the course these days.
And one of them hit me, punched me, kicked me, and spit on me.
Now that must stop. How old is he?
10. He even prayed to Satan. Joe, I'm not sure I want to go back tomorrow.
Are you alone with him?
No. The teacher's in the room, and she's nice. I guess if she can do it day after day, so can I.
There was a court proceeding against the mother of the wild boy who was in fifth grade. The teacher had to testify, so I went with her for moral support. Then I was asked to testify, too, making me anxious. I had a good friend who drove me to town so we could walk together every day. She listened as I poured out my troubles.
That is such a sad case, Jean.
Yes, the boy and his mother sometimes have to live in their car.
No wonder he has problems. It must be hard on you, Jean.
Well, sometimes that boy scares me.
Pray for them, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
I do. The court ordered him to take medicine for his condition.
Jesus is the best medicine. He transforms and gives us a new heart.
After the court hearing, the boy and his mother moved away, and my boss gave me an easier job. By then, we'd been married 3 years, and I was pregnant. I was so excited when our son was born, but not half as excited as Dad.
He's a big boy, Jean. Wow!
When you start life at 9 pounds, 3 ounces, you start big.
I wish I could be around to see him grow up.
You will, Dad.
No. I can feel myself getting weaker all the time.
Don't talk like that. You taught me so much, how to paint and refinish woodwork, how to draw. You'll teach my son these things, too.
I have to be realistic. Besides, I know the Lord now.
You do?
Yeah, Beth explained salvation to me, and I asked Jesus to save me.
Oh, that's wonderful, Dad. She did the same for me.
I can tell the Lord is with me all the time now, so I'm not concerned about my future.
My depression increased. Our marriage had become strained because Joe seemed to be jealous that I spent more time with our son than he did. He'd come home and say, "What did you do all day?" I was sewing draperies at night to augment our income. My friend asked me to do a Bible study, but I didn't want to leave the babies, so I took them with me.
Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Jean. It's what the Apostle Paul wrote about the Lord.
And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong."
Isn't that powerful?
If only that were true of me.
It can be. God will keep his promises if you do your part. The Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God."
The suppressed pain of my life was bursting at the seams. 3 of my closest family members were dying. Some of my dearest friends were divorcing, and Joe seemed distant to me. I now realize that my family's illness had greatly affected me. I didn't sleep for a week, became exhausted, and my mind started to race with thought. I couldn't continue it. Our son was 5 when Joe put me in the hospital to rest. When I came home, I read the Bible.
Hello?
Linda, it's me.
How are you doing, Jean?
I'm back home reading the Bible more.
Good.
But I have some questions. In Matthew chapter 5...
The Sermon on the Mount?
Yes. First it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Then Jesus says, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart."
Yes, sin begins in the heart.
Well, I've done that. I've committed adultery in my heart.
Oh, most of us have, Jean. That's why God tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
I can't believe it. I always thought I was such a good person, but I've broken all of the Ten Commandments. I've hated people, so I'm even a murderer.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
I'm starting to understand how sin comes naturally. That's why we need Jesus.
I think you're getting in over your head, Jean.
No, Joe. God wants us to draw near to him. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing."
You spend too much time reading the Bible.
You don't spend enough time reading it.
Don't tell me what to do.
You need to be born again, Joe. That's the problem. You're not born again.
Back off. I will never be like you, understand? Don't preach to me.
Joe didn't understand the woman I was becoming. And I didn't understand that I was in a spiritual battle. My emotions got out of hand and led me to a break with reality.
Next week, we'll hear about that break in the conclusion of Jean's story. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 38 and 40, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Listening friend, do you have everlasting life? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Jesus said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Turn to him now and tell him, in your own words, that you believe, and ask him to save you. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3269. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.